I've stayed away from the Gospel of John, and I'm still out of it. And Luke got a story that should be familiar to us, found in the 18th chapter of Luke. But there's a couple of things in here, some things that happen, that if we're not real careful, we miss. It's the story of a man who has been blind all his life by the name of Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. He's the fellow who won't give up. His story, if you look, begins at verse 35 of Luke 18. And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Powerful words for us this evening. Al, would you ask a blessing?
Lord,
this same story is told in Mark 10. It's where we get his name. And in Mark 10, he also has the people, when Jesus stops, they tell him to get up and be of good comfort, for he calls you. And in Mark 10, we also find that Bartimaeus throws away his garment and goes to Jesus. In that section in Mark, he's leaving Jericho. In Luke, it says he's near Jericho. He may have gone out and come back in. But either way, what we find here is a man who's been blind begging for sight because he heard Jesus could heal. Was his only hope for sight. I want to share with you a little bit about the history and that culture of what they did with folks who were blind. A lot of times they thought that blind people were blind because of sin. Sickness is because of sin. That's what they understand. We sometimes see it that way, that if I've done something that is bad, God's going to reward me with something bad. Or if you've had a bad day or something bad happens, you must have done something bad. That's what we think. So they thought also is that if a man was born blind, as we found out in John, the Gospel of John, that they thought either he or his parents sinned. But Jesus, on that man, said, neither one. But that God would be glorified. Well, this story of this man has some significant things about it. It parallels in many ways the story of those 10 lepers in Luke 17. Do you remember when they were healed, the 10 lepers, and one came back? It parallels it. It also parallels some things that we're told in Hebrews 13. And I'm going to draw those things in and show you how the healing itself made a difference in this man's life. Not because he could see, but because of the choices he made afterward. Someone might say, how do I know that Jesus has saved somebody? Their choices change. Their behavior is different. Well, this man is begging, and what they did with a blind person is generally they brought him with a mat and carried him or led him to wherever he was at the entrance of a city or the temple or on the exit of the city to beg for alms. It was required of the people to give alms. And he would beg with his cup or his blanket, and they would toss a coin into his blanket or his cup, depending on which he had. That was what he did all day long. Now, the blind man didn't know how much money he took in. However, what was taken in was used to meet his needs. What was extra, the family kept. And he didn't know how much was extra. And if he had children, he certainly wasn't allowed to raise them because he had sin. So this person was basically treated as an invalid, as a person who was less than normal. He was also their cash flow because people were required by the law to give alms. And so, when he got his alms, the money came in, they took what he needed and gave it to him. The rest, they kept. If this man were to be healed, which is one of the reasons why the people didn't want him healed, they would lose income. What do they say? You never get rid of your moneymaker. Don't get rid of your income source. That's why when he said, Jesus, heal me, the people around him said, shut up. If you're healed, we're going to have to go to work harder. We can't live off your disability. Shut up. But he cried out all the more, I have chosen a better life. I want to see. And finally, Jesus stops and calls him over, and he goes over to Jesus. Now, hear what Jesus asks him. He says, what do you want me to do for you? The man is blind. What do you think? Does he get smart with Jesus like that? What do you think I want? I'm blind. I want to see. I like how it says it. In Mark, he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now it says it the same way in Luke, but what Jesus says to him in Luke and in Mark are different. In 42, he says, receive your sight, your faith has saved thee. In Mark it says, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And it says in Mark that immediately he received his sight. and follow Jesus. Right? What kind of person do you think you would be if somebody else always drove you around and led you around and was responsible for you and you never fed yourself or cooked because you couldn't see? What kind of person do you think you'd be? Helpless, right? Couldn't fend for yourself, right? So if this man has become dependent upon his caregivers, right? Excuse me. And they have brought him to the edge of the city every day, 6 days a week, to get alms so that he can survive. Then he's dependent on them for everything. At the end of the day, he's dependent on them to get to him and lead him back. He doesn't know how to get home. There weren't sidewalks. You could count stop lights and corners and traffic. All there was people who carried him and dropped him off. He didn't know where he was at. He didn't have any idea. He had never seen the place where he was born, or where he lived, or how far away he was from his home. He could only guess. So when he asked for his sight, Jesus said, "I'm sorry. Your vision is too little." Even your vision for what could be for you is too little. For some reason, all Bartimaeus wanted was to be able to work and make his living and not depend on other people. But Jesus saw beyond that and said, if that's all you want, you might as well stay blind. If all you want is just fit in with other people who are wasting their time and using people. You're wasting your time getting sight. And he says, your faith, Bartimaeus, that there's a better way. Your faith made you whole. Now, listen carefully to what happens with him and with the lepers and in Hebrews 13. The 10 lepers are all cleansed when Jesus, remember the story, they're 10 begging, and Jesus says, go to the priest and show yourself as cleansed. And on their way, they become healthy. One comes back, and Jesus says, is only one to come back and say thank you? Where are the other nine? And he says to the one, your faith has made you whole. Not well. Remember, the other were cleansed. All they wanted to do is go to the priest, show themselves, and go back to work and join their people. But the one, Jesus said, you're whole now. Faith has made you whole. And he came not to the priests, not to his old life, but to Jesus. When Bartimaeus was healed, Jesus told him, you can see now, but you are made whole. Go the way you choose. And now, his family would say, let's go home. Pick up your cloak with the coins in it, so you'll see the one he had left when he went to see Jesus. He didn't grab the coins. He doesn't know that they were cheating him. All he knows is Jesus told him he's whole now, and he can go wherever he wants. And what does he choose? He follows Jesus. In Mark, they're leaving Jericho. In Luke, he's on the outskirts of Jericho, and he may have been leaving as well. And what we see here with this man is that he's no longer concerned about what he just got saved from.
His life had been sickness, trapped in doing what other people told him to do, stuck. He could have gone and said, "Oh, I want to see what my family looks like. I want to see what my home looks like. I want to see what it looks like in the city." But his first priority was to follow Jesus. And he followed him away from his home. He had no idea where he was going. He didn't even know what his home looked like or where it was once he got there. He had no idea. But he didn't care anymore. Because all of a sudden, like this morning, that was at 80%. He didn't need that anymore. He needed this man. Because this man made him whole. Jesus is not here to give you a better life. Jesus is here to give you a new life. In Hebrews 13, you find out it calls to us. At the end of that great section with the cloud of witnesses, we haven't come to this mountain, but we've come to Jesus Christ, the firstborn of many. And he says that it goes on, we have now an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. And he says that those bodies served at those tabernacles in the temple are burned without the king. Meaning they're burned in the city. Jesus, when he died, suffered outside of the temple. Outside of Jerusalem. This is Hebrews 13, 12 forward. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says. He said, "Let us go therefore unto Jesus outside of the norm of life and bear His reproach. Let us leave our comfort zones and go where He calls us to." I promise you, Jesus is not in the places in our lives that are safe. Jesus is in the place of our lives where people are sick, where they're needy, where they're hungry, where they're hurting, where they're dying, where they're lost. He has come to save the lost sheep. He's not come to be among the people who don't need help. The sick don't need a doctor. And He calls us to Him, which is to the people who need help. And so that means we're going to be among people who aren't very healthy. Around people who are sick, that are blind to Jesus. And sick to the place of denying that God even exists. And when Jesus called us, He said, "You go your way, and if our way is Jesus, we're going to end up where He is." In the next chapter in Luke, if Bartimaeus is following Him, guess where he goes? Zacchaeus' house. To that tax collector and sinner. Well, Zacchaeus needs saved too. He was a lost sheep of the house of Israel. He needed saved too. Didn't we all? Didn't you? Didn't Jesus come to you one way or another, to you where you were, and say, "I can save you like you are. Don't straighten your life up. Just let me help you. Restore you. Renew you." Yes. He didn't say, "You act right and I'll save you." He said, "I'll save you, fill you with my Spirit, and your behavior will change." We know Bartimaeus was healed because he didn't take his coat with him. We know Bartimaeus was healed because he left with Jesus. We know Bartimaeus was healed because, like the man at the beautiful gate, he's thanking Jesus. Do you remember the man at the beautiful gate that was healed? Peter and John? At the gate, the man said, "Silver and gold we have none, but what I offer, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk." And it's prayer time, and it's quiet, and he goes into the temple, he's jumping up and down, shouting, I'm healed, praise God. And all the people in the temple got involved in a revival. They first of all looked and said, "This is a time of quiet prayer." And then they looked and said, "That's that man who can't walk. God did a miracle." If we're not willing to step outside of the walls of our life, we may miss God entirely. You might miss God when He's passing your way because something said, "Don't trouble the Master. Don't trouble the waters." If God wants to help you, He'll find you. Sometimes you have to shout out, "God, I need your healing. God, I'm not happy without all of you in me." Sometimes we have to be a little bit belligerent about our complacency. Bartimaeus was healed. All the lepers were cleansed, but only one was made whole. The question is, are you after from Jesus when He can get you back into society as a respectable person? Or are you looking for the Master who can lead you in life eternal? Doesn't it say somewhere in the Gospels, "You call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say"? Aren't we learning how to follow Jesus? Aren't you? Isn't that what it's all about? Is learning to follow Jesus. What else would you rather do? What's more important to you? That's the message tonight. Thoughts, comments? I just don't think God would be happy if our oil ran out. Not when He gives us the oil.